Many people, I'm sure, in this congregation enjoy the company of having a pet at home. And in many cases, that pet is a dog. Dogs, of course, folks, prove to be loyal companions to their owner. And sometimes you associate a person with their dog because any time you ever see them, the dog's always with them. But dogs, folks, can be a good and an obedient companion. Dogs, of course, can bring tremendous happiness to their owner. There's a strong bond between owner and dog, and it doesn't matter whether that dog is a little terrier or Jack Russell or a Rottweiler or an Alsatian. That dog becomes a great friend, folks. It shows love and affection to its owner. As a family having a Rottweiler at home, our dog at home, folks, has proved to be a very loyal and a loving companion. When you look out one of the upstairs windows, he often sits at the front door, and he just looks down the garden to the road to see who's passing or what vehicle's going up and down. His nose is twitching all the time. He's alert, he's sensitive. And anything that's not to his liking, he's soon making a noise. But to us, he's just a big softy. A confident dog, but a loyal one. Well-known story of Greyfriars Bobby has touched many people. And indeed, whenever that film is seen, it has brought many's a tear to an eye. In Edinburgh, in the year 1850, John Grey, his wife Jess and son John Jr. arrived in Edinburgh. They were looking for work. And unable to find work as a gardener, John avoided going to the workhouse in Edinburgh when he joined the Edinburgh police force as a night watchman. And to keep himself company during those winter nights, John bought himself a little Skye terrier, keep him company, and he called the little dog Bobby. And together, John and Bobby became a familiar sight as they trampled along the old cobble streets of Edinburgh at that time, through thick and thin, through winter and summer. They were loyal and faithful companions. The years on the streets took their toll for John Grey, and he was struck down with the disease of TB. And eventually died of that disease in February 1858. He was buried in Greyfriars Kirkyard in the city. And the two of them had been together for 8 years. And that wee dog, folks, touched the hearts of the people of Edinburgh, for he refused to leave his master's grave. The gardener in the kirkyard had made a little shelter for Bobby, for him to keep his vigil there during those long winter nights. And little Bobby's fame soon spread across the city of Edinburgh, and crowds used to come to see him day and daily. Crowds particularly came and gathered waiting for the 1 o'clock gun to go off at Edinburgh Castle, because it signalled to the wee dog that it was time for his midday meal. And he would often head off, run down exactly the same streets day after day to the house of a man called a Mr. William Doe, a joiner and a cabinet maker, to the same coffee house that his master John Grey and he had frequented for 8 years. And that's where wee Bobby got his meal. And that continued, folks, for 14 years. 14 years, little Bobby kept up his watch and guard over his master's grave until the little terrier dog died in 1872. The kind folk of Edinburgh took good care of that little dog. Baroness Georgina Burdett Coutts was so deeply moved that she asked for permission, after little Bobby had died, that a granite fountain be erected with Bobby's statue on it. And if you go to Edinburgh today, near the King George VI Bridge, you'll find that statue. Little Bobby was buried beside his master in Greyfriars Kirkyard, just there at the Grass Market. That exact same graveyard that many of the Covenanters are buried in after they were executed at the Grass Market. Little Bobby's headstone reads this: Greyfriars Bobby died 14th of January 1872, aged 16. Let his loyalty and devotion be a lesson to us all. You go to Edinburgh today, folks, and you will see that little grave. It's an example of loyalty and devotion. Here in 2 Samuel chapter 15, we have a wonderful example of loyalty and devotion. It is exhibited in the life of Ittai the Gittite. He was one of David's most loyal soldiers in the king's army. Indeed, folks, Ittai the Gittite is named as one of David's mighty men. You will see over in chapter 23 of this book of 2 Samuel, verse 8 begins with a list of David's mighty men. And they are named there. And down in verse 29, you will find Ittai's name there in that roll of honour. Ittai the Gittite, he came from the tribe of Benjamin. He was an individual who saw in David a leader who was worthy of honour, a leader who was worthy of loyalty. And along with Joab and Abishai, Gittai became one of David's three generals, as it is seen in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 2. And David had promoted him to such a position of prominence directly prior to the rebellion of Absalom. Chapter 15 here, David advises his soldiers to go home. The context is that at this time Absalom had rebelled against his father. He had taken the hearts of the people away with him, and many of the armies that once were David's were now on the side of Absalom. And David was moved here into action. His first official order was to get his family out of Jerusalem. And then his officers and his bodyguards, they were to leave Jerusalem immediately. And if Absalom had a whole nation's army behind him, it would have been very easy for Absalom's armies now to come to the city of Jerusalem, which is on a hill, and surround it and create a siege and kill his father. Folks, that is the context here. Absalom, a sinful and ambitious young man, couldn't wait for his father to pass away. He wanted his hands on the throne. And David here, on advising his officers all to escape, verse 18 tells them that most of them did leave him. Verse 18, it tells us there, and all his servants passed on beside him. And all the Kerethites and all the Pelethites and all the Gittites, 600 men, which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Now David turns around and he sees Ittai still standing there. And in verse 19 he asks him, well, why are you still here? Why have you not returned with the others? And look at Ittai's answer in verse 21. As the Lord liveth, and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in life or in death, even there will thy servant be. What an answer. Here's a man who was nailing his colours to the mast. David, I'm going to be with you. I'll be there through thick and thin. He determined he was going to be there to the bitter end. And what Ittai confessed here in that verse, folks, and his testimony, that is one of the greatest confessions of faith that you will find anywhere in the Word of God. It ranks right alongside that of Ruth's confession of faith in Ruth chapter 1, verse 16, and the confession of faith of the Roman centurion in Matthew 8, verses 5 to 13. Ittai was going to be all in all out for David, whether in life or in death. What a verse, folks. A verse that the believer would do well to think on tonight. We simply want to look as our subject this evening at Ittai, David's loyal soldier. Notice with me, first of all, Ittai was dedicated to David. What you see there in verse 21 is a statement of loyalty. He was a man who was fully committed to serving his master, no matter what came his way. And folks, that is the language of 100% dedication to Israel's king. Whenever others had gone back and taken the advice of the king and left the place, the ranks had been severely depleted. But Ittai stayed firm. Ittai was showing not just to David, he was making it public on whose side he belonged. And anything that Ittai was doing here, folks, he was simply separating himself unto his king. He was like a Masai that we read of. He was one of David's captains who said in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 18, "Thine are we, David, and on thy side." You think of David, folks, and what a change had come over him since his youth. He was once a shepherd who was day and daily with the sheep, and now he's a God, he's God's appointed and God's anointed king. And though he was king, folks, not everyone accepted him as king. In his early days as king, there were those who still followed the household of Saul, in particular Abner, who sought to make Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, king, and they did. But the house of Judah remained loyal to David. He was opposed at the beginning of his reign. Now here he's opposed by his own son. And it is clear, folks, that there were those who had jumped sides and who had switched their loyalty. They were once with David. Now they're with Absalom. And at this point in time, it was a very low ebb in David's life. He needed men who believed in him. He needed men who were going to stay with him, going to be loyal, come out boldly on his side and be unashamedly his follower. Ittai was one such loyal follower who separated himself unto his master. It's obvious that he had been well trained and experienced in warfare. And quite obviously also, Ittai had counted the cost in following his master. He was going to be engaged and was prepared to defend him no matter what would come his way. It's not hard to see, folks, his unquestioned loyalty here in this verse. And Ittai was possessed with a supreme desire to please his master and to be at his side. Others might go back, others might change their position, and their actions showed that they did. But as far as David was concerned, he needed men who were separated unto him, not double-minded individuals, halfway house men who were trying to have a foot in both camps. No, loyal, dedicated. I'm sure you're aware that in Scripture, David is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, King David's greater son, the one who is King of Kings, the one who is Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, folks, is the Christian's rightful king. He is God's anointed and God's appointed one, and one that has been given a name that is above every name. And like King David, isn't it so that there are many who reject him today? Not everyone has accepted Christ as their king. There are some who, like in David's day, they started out in the Christian life, but tonight they've jumped sides. They've switched their allegiance. There's more of an affinity with the world, and like Demas, they've gone back, that man who lived in Paul's day, they've merged into the ways of the world and ungodly lifestyles. Folks, the Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, needs men and women and boys and girls who will be separated unto him, who will be dedicated to him, to his cause.
How hurt the Lord must be when those who profess his name, they jump sides and they reject him as king. The Lord needs followers. God's work needs followers. This church needs followers. People that'll be loyal. People that'll be true. I wonder, folks, how loyal are you? Is it your desire, like Ittai, to do those things that please him? We read those words of Paul when he addressed Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I wonder, friend, tonight, are you dedicated to your heavenly king? You know, if this man, Ittai, could be so out and out for David, then how much more should we not be out and out loyal, dedicated to our heavenly David? And say, surely in whatsoever place my Lord and Saviour shall be, whether in life or in death, even there will thy servant be. There's not too many Ittais around today in our land. A lot of people, of course, they're easily put off, aren't they? People are quick to slacken off their attendance at God's house and the prayer meeting. They slacken off reading God's word, God's cause, and they don't become engaged in the works of God's house. They're not separated unto the Lord. Maybe at the end of the day, the world has a grip on them. Their desires for spiritual things and going to meetings has cooled off. Folks, God is looking for Ittais. Looking for dedicated folk. Folk whose hearts are true and people are not ashamed. Ittai showed backbone. Let's look secondly here at Ittai was devoted to David. Just wasn't dedicated, but he was devoted. As a soldier, he loved the one that he served. As a leader of men, there are very, very few in history who have gained the reputation of Lord Nelson. Horatio Nelson was born in Norfolk in 1758. Horatio Nelson became a very distinguished sailor in the Royal Navy, rising right to the very top, to the rank of Admiral. Nelson captained many ships in his lifetime, leading his men during his career, but he is most famously remembered for his exploits at the Battle of Trafalgar in 1805. He was noted for his inspirational leadership there at that battle. He was a man who was noted for his superb grasp of strategy and also unconventional tactics, all of which resulted in the victory there over Napoleon at the Battle of Trafalgar. He was wounded several times in combat during his lifetime. He lost an arm at the Battle of Tenerife. He lost an eye at the Battle of Corsica. But folks, he lost his life at the Battle of Trafalgar. A man who died in the thick of the action. And such was the respect that the sailors had for Nelson that they did not bury him at sea, as was the custom. Instead, they preserved his body in a casket of brandy, and they had the body brought back to England. When King George III heard the news of the victory at Trafalgar and also of Nelson's death, George III said this: "We have lost more than we have gained." His funeral took place at St. Paul's Cathedral. After a four-hour service, he was buried there at the cathedral, and the whole of London came to a standstill. Folks, Nelson was only 47 when he died at Trafalgar. He was a leader of men that his men saw worth serving. Each and every sailor was devoted to Horatio Nelson. They saw the scars that war had brought to him, and if he could endure it, then so too can we. Just a couple of weeks ago as a family, we were holidaying in the New Forest in Hampshire, and we went across to Portsmouth for a day to the Royal Naval Dockyard. And among the many ships that we saw there at Portsmouth is Nelson's ship, HMS Victory. She sits today in dry dock. When you stand beside her, folks, you get a real sense of scale of the size of that brute. And if it's big today, you can imagine how it appeared to the enemy in 1805. It must have been a frightening spectacle for Napoleon. Nelson had men who were devoted to him. Folks, that's just like Ittai and his devotion to his master. Later in chapter 18 of this book, in verse 2, he's promoted to become one of David's generals. I'm sure Ittai was an officer worth serving. His soldiers under him could see his loyalty. He was a man of inspirational character, an infectious character, who caused others to stand out as well. And Ittai had heard of King David's command regarding Absalom in chapter 18 and verse 5. Word of God tells us there, chapter 18, verse 5, and the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, "Deal gently for my sake with the young man, even Absalom." And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. In verse 12 of that same chapter, you can see how Ittai feared the words of the king. He wasn't prepared to go against it, but Joab did. Joab, on the other hand, disregarded David's words. He disobeyed orders from his master. And in verse 14, there it tells us that he took three darts and he thrust them into the heart of Absalom. But Ittai showed devotion to David's word. He obeyed the words of the king. He listened to it and he took it on board. You know, over there in John's Gospel, chapter 2 and verse 5, we read the words of Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. She was present there at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. And when they had run out of wine, she turned to the servants and she says, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." That could be said of Ittai. "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I wonder how you and I fare when it comes to the word of our heavenly King. This word that God has given to us. Do we want to enjoy God's blessing in our lives? And do we want our prayers answered? Do we need guidance in life? Then, folks, as soldiers of the King, does there not need to be a doing of the things that the King says? Ittai displayed obedience and devotion. What about us? Mary's words, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." If we can live in obedience, folks, to that golden rule and be devoted to the Lord, then the believer will always be filled with God's presence and power and blessing. You know, folks, our King does speak to us today. The Lord Jesus speaks personally. The Lord Jesus speaks authoritatively. He speaks through his word. Not only does he speak personally and authoritatively, he speaks instrumentally. That is, he speaks through other people also. How often we hear the voice of the Lord through the wise and helpful counsel of some other believer. The Lord also speaks providentially. Providentially, in the daily happenings and circumstances of our lives, he opens a door and he closes another. Most of all, folks, he speaks through his word. Jesus said in John 6, verse 63, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." There's no spirit or life in the daily newspapers or in the writings of the great poets or those who write novels or whatever it might be. God speaks through his word. It is life and it is spirit. And anything, folks, that we feel to be his voice, which is contrary to the word that he says, is certainly not the voice of God. As we hear and read the word, God speaks to us through his Holy Spirit. And as far as Ittai was concerned, he listened to the words of his king. Man who showed devotion and was obedient. What about us tonight? Does it not come as a challenge, this verse? Jesus said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Lord Nelson's men did what he said. They saw that he could pay the supreme sacrifice. And they followed their leader. I wonder, folks, how devoted are we? Do we keep the words of Christ? Lastly, Ittai delighted in David. He just wasn't devoted and dedicated. He delighted in David. And what Ittai says here in our text is the language of restful delight in the presence of the one whom he desired to be with. He just wanted to be with David wherever he was, whether that would be in life or in death. You can see there that's the language of self-sacrifice. And my friend, you can see also that those words were uttered when David was at his lowest ebb. His family were against him. Many of his soldiers left him. He's on the run. Now Ittai draws alongside with words like that. What a blessing that man was to David. Casting his lot in with David, he was there for richer, for poorer. He was there in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, and he meant it. He meant to be with him to the end. There's a man who showed a passionate attachment to his king. And that attachment was ready to manifest itself with a personal, willing sacrifice. It's the language of unselfish delight. And he was no secret follower of David. He clearly here took his side. And he was prepared to go at the front, to be seen by one and all on whose side he was. He wasn't ashamed of David. Many people are fearful, aren't they, of being seen as a Christian? W.P. Nicholson is a case in point. W.P. Nicholson, that great evangelist in this country, was born at Cottown outside Bangor in County Down on the 3rd of April, 1876. Nicholson, folks, was born into a strong Presbyterian family. His dad was a captain in the Merchant Navy. And in spite of the godly upbringing he received, especially from his mother, Nicholson, as a young lad, turned his back upon his church, upon his godly upbringing, turned his back upon it all. Wanted to see the world. And he too joined the Merchant Navy. And that was a time when sailing the world that he confesses, I sowed the wild oats of sin. After 4 wild years at sea, Nicholson had come to the end of his tether in Cape Town in South Africa. And he boarded a steamship that was heading back to Southampton. Coming to Southampton, he made his way back to Belfast and then down the coast to Bangor and walked in through the door of that little rural house. 3 weeks after coming back from his years at sea, on the 22nd of May 1899, the Lord gloriously saved W.P. Nicholson. But Having accepted Christ as his Saviour, Nicholson had a tremendous fear of man. That was an absolute snare to him. Nicholson was ashamed of the Saviour, ashamed of being identified with God's people. He described himself as a coward, and he described himself as a sneak. Still in all, he went to his church, which was Hamilton Road in Bangor. But he was deeply unhappy inside, and he had no delight in his soul for his new king and master. He was totally snared. But you know, things came to a head. Leading businessman in Bangor, who was an out-and-out Christian, had arranged for a Reverend Holden from London to be the speaker in Bangor on the subject of a convention for the deepening of the Christian life. Nicholson went along to those meetings, the beginning, and he began to warm to them. He began to enjoy the meetings, but he was still worried about being seen coming to them. He was worried about losing his reputation. You know, at that same time, the Salvation Army had come to Bangor. And two wee girls, two young lassies in Salvation Army uniform, used to have their open-air meetings in Bangor Street. And they would have sang and played their tambourines, and they would have preached the Word of God. And one man used to go in front of him down the street to try and gather up a crowd. He carried the Salvation Army flag with him, and he danced down the street. He wore a knitted jumper with the words on it, "Saved from public opinion." Nicholson saw it. This fella, he had been named as Daft Jimmy. And Nicholson said about Daft Jimmy, he said he had hardly enough brains to give him a headache, but he had enough sense to get saved. Nicholson was told that he was going to have to join these folk and marched down the street with two girls and a fool. And he was cornered, folks, and he couldn't get out of it. And the very thought of it filled him with absolute dread. He would be laughed at. "I'm going to lose my reputation." He pleaded with the Lord, and he says, "Lord, I'll go to Timbuktu, and Lord, I'll go to Hong Kong, and I'll be a martyr for you, but not this." But folks, Nicholson couldn't get out of it. That Saturday evening, Nicholson walked down the main street in Bangor, and it seemed as if every relative he ever had, every friend he ever worked with, was out in Bangor main street that night. He felt as if he was dying. He looked at Daft Jimmy going in front of the two girls, carrying the flag and dancing in front of them. The two girls were singing with their tambourines, and to his horror, the two girls stopped. And he says that the people don't seem to be listening to us. "Let's have a prayer meeting." They got down on their knees in the gutters and they started to pray. Knelt down, and Nicholson says he could hear the jitters and the laughter. He says the prayer was short, but I could have wished it was as long as Psalm 119. You know, whenever Nicholson got up from the gutters, one of those young pilgrims handed to Nicholson the tambourine, says, "Here, you lead us." Nicholson, being stubborn, he says, I couldn't let a girl beat me. And so I took it. And he says, that did it. From then on, he says, my shackles fell off and I was free. He says, I started down the street, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I lost my reputation, he says, and the fear of man, and I delighted in the Lord. He went across to Daft Jimmy and he took the flag off him, and he started to dance down the street, and Nicholson didn't care, folks, who saw him. He was full of the joy of the Lord. Next day was Sunday. He went to his normal place of worship, and two very well-to-do and dry elders in that congregation had seen him the night before in Bangor. And they were standing at the top of the church steps, and they gave him one dirty look as he walked up the steps. And Nicholson just marched up straight past him, says, "Hallelujah, amen," and walked straight into the church. He sat down in the pew. Opening psalm was announced, Psalm 23. Nicholson says, "If ever my heart was full, it was full then." And he sang as loud as he could, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in front of him, there was a very respectable, well-to-do lady in an expensive fur coat. Hearing Nicholson bawl out, "The Lord's my shepherd," she turned round and she gave him one dirty look. Nicholson says to himself, "If she does it again, I'll give her a lesson. She'll never turn round again." And you know, folks, when it came to the verse, "My head thou dost with oil anoint, my cup overflows," Nicholson's cup overflowed at that moment. The wee woman looked round and she stared at him. Nicholson says, "I stuck out my tongue as far as I could." And she was offended and she was horrified. Nicholson says, "I got the victory over myself. I got the victory over a man might think of me. And over every accusation that the devil would ever throw at me, I was full of the joy of the Lord. I wanted to serve my king." Does that not fit? Regarding Ittai. Ittai was no secret follower, folks. He was prepared to go out in the front. Prepared to march where everybody could see him. He wasn't ashamed of David as king. He delighted in serving him. He wanted to be in the presence of his king. I wonder to you, is it your delight to come to God's house? Is it your delight to come whenever the services are on? Do we not need folks to get rid of our reticence as God's people? Like Nicholson did. Would it not be so that if you and I loved the Lord as Ittai loved David, things would be different? Does the Lord not need loyal followers today? Isn't it so that love always seeks to be near its object? And that being so, should believers not seek the company of our heavenly David? Lord looked for his disciples after he had been arrested, and he turned round and not one of them was there. After that incident in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all forsook him and fled. There wasn't much loyalty there. I wonder, what about us, friend? Are we for the Lord for better, for worse? For richer, for poorer? In sickness and in health? If a little dog, a Skye Terrier, could be an example of loyalty and devotion to his master. And Ittai here in 2 Samuel 15, folks, what does that say about you and I? Surely Ittai's confession of faith comes as a challenge to all of us in this meeting. What words he said there in verse 21, "As the Lord liveth, as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in life or death, even there also will thy servant be." Ittai, he was dedicated, he was devoted, and he delighted. Hymn 535 that we sang, "Be strong in the Lord, rejoicing in his might. Be loyal and true day by day. When evils assail, be valiant for the right. And he will be our strength and stay. Greyfriars Bobby, little headstone, let his loyalty and devotion be a lesson to us all." Folks, if that could be said of a dog, what about us tonight? What about our loyalty? May Ittai's confession of faith be ours as well, for his name's sake.